presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
No, that's it for me.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
Just pointing at you.
Oh my God!
I can't see you.
Well, he didn't say anything, so I didn't say anything.
You need to do this with audacity, right?
We are old school.
And now, damn right they shot first. The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Are we done?
Yeah. I don't think we said who did that last time either.
No, it's Christopher Marion Jones. He does some awesome voiceover work. So if you need information about him, feel free to contact us on Facebook. We will hook you up.
Thank you.
So just like he hooked us up. And he used to be a DJ Papa Bear with me on freakradio.net many, many moons ago when that was still a thing. So, yay!
Freakradio.net.
Yes.
What was this thing?
It was a online radio station that you could listen to while playing games like World of Warcraft or The Sims Online, and we would be your DJ hosts, and you could do instant requests off Instant Messenger and all sorts of stuff. But that is not part of this.
That's right.
Episode 33! Woo!
That's the past.
So we have with us Matt and Abby Stenninger. But before we allow you to relax for even 1 second, we're going to go right into the rapid fire response round. I'm about to ask you a series of questions where you can answer with a single word or phrase. Do not think too long or we will answer them for you.
Oh, shit.
Exactly. We're going to start with Abby. Abby, time to confess. What is your guilty pleasure to watch on TV?
NCIS.
All right. Matt, where would you take the TARDIS?
Oh my God, everywhere.
Okay.
Every win.
Everywhere. Abby, what superpower would you like to have?
Telepathy.
And Matt, what's your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure? Steven Universe.
Okay.
It's not really guilty pleasure, though, but it's, yeah.
Abby, what job would you never want to have?
Gravedigger?
Matt, what is your primary fandom?
Ooh. This year, Transformers. No. Next year, Star Wars. Who knows?
Abby, what cool technology do you want to see next?
Hoverboards.
Yeah.
Woo.
Matt, what is your theme song?
Wow.
Go Go Power Rangers. Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Sure. Abby, what was the first concert you ever went to?
B-52s.
Nice.
Cool.
Matt, favorite Saturday morning cartoon? Let me guess, Transformers.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a Saturday cartoon, though. That was a weekday. My favorite Saturday morning cartoon would have been the Real Ghostbusters on ABC.
Yes. There you go. And Abby, what would you tell the 10-year-old you?
Women are funny.
Matt, what game show would you like to be on, past or present?
Ooh, At Midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you are now both trapped on a desert island with a solar recharged tablet.
Mm.
And you have the opportunity to download one of each of the following. Please let us know what you would download. Matt, what book would you download?
Probably Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. If I can get through the whole series. I would hope a whole series counts as one book or just like one book.
One book.
One book.
They have like the...
If it's a compendium.
Yeah, the omnibus collection of Hitchhiker's Guide.
What album?
Oh my goodness.
You know, but the Time Life series of all music everywhere.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. No, I think, you know, if you're stuck on a desert island, you're going to want something with some complexity. So Mozart, Bach, Vivaldi, something that you can listen to again and again and pull out complexities and art.
Short answers.
Ah, I don't do short.
Movie.
Star Wars!
Game. And it has to be a game you can play on a tablet.
God, I don't play a lot. Does a web browser count? Because then I could call for help.
No. Abby, what book would you do?
Oh, gosh. Probably. Could I do like a one volume compendium of Shakespeare?
Sure.
Okay, yes.
The complete works of Shakespeare.
Yes.
Okay, album?
Anything by Bob Marley.
Okay. Oh. Movie?
Tombstone.
And game?
Panda Pop.
All right. And that is it. You have survived the response round.
For a book, has anyone ever said, like, I'd like the book to be How to Survive on a Desert Island?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Wasn't it Graham?
Yeah, or it was How to Make Things Out of Albums or something.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's like how to build a raft. How to build a raft, I think, was one of the answers. Yeah. Now, maybe that was Zach. Zach Sleazy Does It Rogers. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, somebody did suggest that maybe the book they wanted was a book on how to get off the damn island. We would agree. So
tell us what the fuck you're doing.
Oh, now. Yeah.
Who are you? We put you through a gauntlet. Now we put you on the spot. How'd you get in security? What happened?
Well, we're Matt and Abby, and we know this group of goofballs from the Charlotte Geeks and Geek Gala. Mm-hmm. And
woohoo!
Yes, we do comedy at the Geek Gala and at Con Carolina's, and
now we have Two Dudes Review.
Yeah.
With Ronnie Dean.
With Ronnie Dean. I know there's three of us, but, yes. You know, it just three dudes just doesn't sound as good. And Abby counts as a dude.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. This is the 21st century, man.
Yes.
Don't put your labels on me. You cishet patriarchy scum. Wait, sorry, I've been on Tumblr a lot lately.
And so tell us a little bit about Two Dudes.
Well, it's something we just started up within the last 2 months. And we basically sit around and write comedy and come up with goofy sketches and put it all together. Ronnie has one under the Dork Knight, reviewing the Arkham Asylum.
The new one. It's Arkham Knight. Yeah.
Arkham Knight, and
That's our first one. It's just a solo with him to get our feet wet. But we have recorded our second one, which is all about Transformers Combiner Wars toys. Mm-hmm. But it's in editing right now.
And then I think the next one up is Renaissance Fair.
Yes, we're going to be live from the Renaissance Fair.
And then we're going to follow it up with Tombstone. And that one's going to have some fun, like, skits and Tombstone. Maybe a music video in there.
Which we actually just got back from Tombstone recently. Yeah. And that town is amazing.
It is. It is. It is not, well, I mean, it's a historical city, but it's not like somewhere like, Colonial.
No, it's not Colonial Williamsburg. It's a real town.
It's a real town. The citizens do everything. They keep up the town. They bring the tourists in. They do the shows. Oh, so there's no historical society behind it. It's the entire town. And it is like stepping back in the 1880s.
Yeah. So if we get a Kickstarter to fly us back there to do a review of the movie in Tombstone, that would be really great.
Yes, yes.
Can you start that after the gala, though?
Yeah, that'll be after. That'll say,
Any money that's going to come through now
this
podcast.
That's by November.
Yeah. Well, so let's go through some of the news.
Sure. Fear the Walking Dead.
Granted.
Did you guys see that? Or?
Any Walking Dead fans?
No.
We've been on Hell on Wheels.
Yeah.
So we've missed a lot of...
I watched the first season of Walking Dead, and then... And then I just
I'm not a Walking Dead fan. This is all between the cat and the Starks Lord.
I got a coworker who won't shut up about it, though. Every day he's asking everyone if they saw the
So that's
new
a
one.
Positive review, right?
Yeah.
That's annoyance level at the workplace.
So Fear the Walking Dead debuted on Sunday night. This is the spinoff from The Walking Dead. This takes place on the West Coast rather than Atlanta. And the first episode was okay.
I saw the first 25 minutes. And
It's more family drama than zombies right now. We'll have to see how this goes. I'll give it a couple more episodes before washing my hands of it. But if they stick with the whole mom, pop, and Junkie Depp, which I deem the kid because he looks like Johnny Depp. And he's a heroin addict, and it was just like, Junkie Depp there really needs to wash his face.
As fans, do you guys think there's enough interesting stories in that world to tell them from a different perspective?
Yeah, because this actually takes place right at the beginning of the outbreak, whereas Walking Dead started full-blown
Okay.
Zombie apocalypse.
I really don't need the origin story, so
I don't even know if I'm they're going to go into what like the this, origin but, yeah. is. But it is interesting to see it from a different perspective as far as the country goes, because this takes place in Los Angeles rather than, you know, Georgia, which is...
So I guess in L.A. they first start to... They try to, like, cure the zombies with, like, kale and yeah, rinses
and aromatherapy.
And, yeah, colonics.
Weed.
Yeah.
And Larry David says something snarky and everyone yeah. gets their feelings hurt.
Yes.
Okay, now I would watch the hell out of Larry David in the zombie apocalypse.
Okay. Larry, you don't... Larry, you don't call them zombies. I didn't know.
Jeez. I'll give it a couple more episodes. I think there's only 6 episodes of those.
So I'll give it half the run and yeah, see if I like it. Run, I don't know. I do think it's kind of cool because the kids at the school seem to be more into the signs on the internet. They're like, well, it just seems odd that all these weird things are going on with people getting sick and then they're killing people. And eating people. That seems odd to me. And it kind of reminds me back when the bath salt thing was going on a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And somebody in L.A. was actually eating somebody's face yes. off. And I was like...
That was Florida.
That's Florida.
Oh, Florida, yeah. I was like...
Where else?
Okay, this is how it starts, I guess, possibly. And then the CDC didn't help out because then they released their... I think it was like 6 months later, how to prepare for the zombie. And it was a serious thing. And I was like, okay... Do we not know something? Yeah, it's like
there was something else, real quick. There was something yeah. else going on when that bath salt guy ate the other guy's face, right?
Yeah.
This little news story got buried though. About a week later, there was a guy. He was a medical doctor, and he was driving away from Florida, and he had $50,000 in cash in his car, and like a briefcase with some sort of medical chemicals, medicines or something, like mysterious chemicals that they had to, like, the police had to test. And when they arrested the guy, he freaked out and started, like, spitting blood and stuff at the cops. And it was kind of buried. But yeah. I remember kind of tying, thinking that might have tied to that bath salts guy. I don't know.
Zombie apocalypse is slowly happening, people.
I mean, you know, not to be, like, all... conspiracy theorists.
But please do.
No,
but you know, I mean, it starts in Florida, right? And crazy stuff is happening. Now we start to have sharks coming out of the water to eat people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Sharknado, maybe it wasn't really just a sci-fi movie, maybe. And I'm thinking, God damn it. One of my two fears that I'm not ever going to address is my fear of sharks. And if they're coming out of the fucking ocean, please, I'm not going to go visit you. Don't come visit me. That's all I
know. Yeah. I don't understand why they say shark-infested waters. Like, no, they live
it's
there.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be human-infested waters? You know, yeah. Getting into the water. I don't know.
You mean the ocean.
Their natural habitat versus our pool.
Well, I remember as a
pool.
Kid, like, I grew up in the Atlantic Ocean, and when you were 2 or 3, the first thing your parent did, well, besides, you know, normal, care of a child, but ensure that you knew how. One of the first skills that you tried to teach your children once they were of a certain age was how to swim in the water mm-hmm. and how to deal with the tide, because of the fact that we would have jellyfish like man-o-war come up on the shore all the time. And I remember the panics that we used to have. You know, you'd be on the beach, and all of a sudden you'd hear about some kid had accidentally dived into the water right on top of a man of war and gotten stung all up in their stomach and died or whatever. And it's just like, the earth is coming to get us.
See, I lived in Colorado. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that problem because we were a landlocked state. So it's like...
I know. But you guys have bears, but bears
That's
you can
true.
Deal with.
But bears you can deal with. Yeah. Just don't feed them.
Yes.
We learned that at the Renaissance Festival. Don't leave food out or you get bears.
Do you want bears? Because that's how you get bears.
I want to hear this story.
Oh, no. Okay, Colorado Renaissance Festival is on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And the mountain has bears. And we'd have to tell everybody when they came to the festival, please don't leave your food out.
Mm-hmm.
Store it properly because the bears will come and eat it. And we would have, you'd get radio calls because we would call bears friends on the radio. Yeah, there's a friend on the stage, on the Celestial Seasoning stage. Could somebody please come out and just shoo it away? They were small brown bears. They weren't really, you know, I suppose they can really mess you up if you...
Yeah, small brown bears. They only weighed 2 or 3
pounds. Yeah.
No grizzlies. Yeah.
Did they get good
grizzly
tips?
Grizzly man there, but yeah. We've almost hired a couple for stage acts just to, you know, boost attendance.
Yeah, bounce on a ball, you know? Yeah.
Sure. But Colorado had its bears, Arizona had its rattlesnakes, so it's...
So Celestial Seasonings
had a stage.
Had a stage.
At a Colorado Renaissance.
Speaking of, yes. You know, spicing up your meat, what's going on with Hannibal?
Oh, God. That's terrible.
That's what we call a transition, folks.
Down to the last two episodes. They deviated from the book. Yeah, anyone?
What?
Red Dragon, oh. They did.
Deviated septum?
Anyway.
Sorry.
Going on. The person who got their lips chewed off was different on the show than it was in the book.
How dare they! Divulge from the source material that much? Ridiculous!
And what's really sad about that scene is because Richard Armitage...
It was a different set of lips.
What?
There goes that E rating. Okay.
Richard Armitage is playing the Tooth Fairy. And this whole scene where he's biting this guy's lips off, all I could think is, damn, those are nice yoga shorts. Because he's a beautiful guy. And it's like, yeah, he's biting some guy's lip off, but damn, he looks good in those shorts. So, I'll be sad to see the show go, but I've said that before. One more episode.
And speaking of Richard Armitage, we have information about The Hobbit.
Oh, the extended edition, yes. Which will be rated R, I'm assuming for violence. I don't think there was like a... huge sex scene.
The elf orgy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
Evangeline Lily got
Hobbit three-way, I think.
She bathed in moonlight. He had the ring on. Nobody knew he was there. What happens if you stick the ring on the other thing?
If you don't know them, it's a smaller problem.
I'm glad we stick to the family-friendly shows like the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming it's for violence, the R rating.
Yeah, and it's 20 extra minutes that weren't shown. Or you can wait 2 more months for the Blu-ray, probably. But it's in October, so... I think it's after the
gala. I just got to ask, did you like The Hobbit enough to want 20 more minutes of it?
No.
Yeah. No, I didn't either.
I wanted all three of those, one movie.
Yeah, that's seriously.
But I did like Avengers 2 that I'm dying for the extra 30 minutes of that.
Yeah, I've heard there's some good stuff in there. There's a Loki scene, apparently?
Come on, that was a pretty choppy Thor storyline, so you know that there was a lot of crap left out of that.
There's a lot of behind-the-scenes drama with that Thor storyline between Whedon and the studio, kind of button heads over it.
Yeah.
The whole story's out there if you want to Google it.
It made them very Thor.
We'll try some ointment.
But yes, I will take 20 extra minutes of The Hobbit simply because I love Peter Jackson's vision of Middle-earth. Not necessarily because The Hobbits are good movies.
Yeah.
They're not, really. I love Martin Freeman, but...
Oh, yeah. Freeman.
But
she really loves him.
Yeah, I do.
Like, she really loves him.
Put him in yoga shorts.
But with Richard Armitage. Woo! Oh my gosh.
Carol's checked out. But now, I will take 20 extra minutes of New Zealand scenery.
Yes. Well, what little actual New Zealand scenery there is and among all the CGI.
Quite a bit, actually. I'm surprised.
Speaking
sometimes.
Of scenery and our ratings,
oh dear.
Are we supposed to go topless this Sunday?
Yeah, I saw this story and I just had to go with it. It's Go Topless Day this Sunday for women. I just had a side note. Or now, if you just wanted to jump the gun.
They already jumped the gun in New York.
Did they?
Yeah.
They did today?
I don't know if it was today or yesterday or something, but it's on Reddit. There's like pictures of like cops like standing around dumbfounded as like topless women are strutting around.
I had never heard of this before. So.
I don't know what to do. Rest them or stare. Where do I put the cuffs? Oh my goodness.
I just had to do that. Was in the trending things for today, and I was like, okay, let's put that on there.
So go topless on Sunday.
Yeah.
Please.
Or if you prefer not to go topless, put on a dark cloak and hand out raw meat in Gastonia.
It's what the cool kids are doing, apparently.
It's what all the cool kids are doing.
Yeah, this is how we make the national news.
Well, it's Gastonia.
Thank you so much. For our listeners in Africa, not all of North Carolina is like this.
No.
Honey, you grew up in this general area.
Gaston County is our Florida.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's all I had to say. That's all you had to say right there. Yeah, there are pictures, and you can't see the guy's face, and it's a very dark... hood, like it's some kind of ceremony. And I don't know, it could be just a pagan thing because, mm-hmm. you know, but he was putting raw meat and it was kind of close to the playground. There were no kids there or whatever, but it just was kind of not a good thing. But yeah. And you said they might have solved the case?
They might have solved the case. I couldn't find it quickly on my phone, but I think they may have found out who he was and why he was putting raw meat around.
They cracked it wide open.
Next, a guest on your face. Now that's a serious area.
There's some maniac out there dropping raw meat in playgrounds, Chief. You're off the case.
A waste of a damn good burger. We gotta find this vegetarian.
Oh, guest on your
face. We didn't start with Dancing with the Stars? No.
No.
How did we not start with Dancing with the Stars?
I didn't let
stars?
Her start that way. Yeah. I but figured, look, now that we've
you know,
mentioned
we really it, should mention that fact yeah. that Tiffles is not here today.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's in Italy.
She's in Italy. Ciao, Bella.
Bitch.
Yeah. Wait. She's coming back.
Oh. Okay. I didn't mean that, Tiffles.
No. We love you, Tiffles.
Okay, she's going
to listen. She'll never listen to this.
Please pass out our buttons in Italy. So, speaking of Italy, Warehouse 13 had had an episode where they go to the Vatican. So, you know, there's that. No,
okay. It's another good time.
No, I mean, so Warehouse
actually ended.
It ended. They gave them 5 episodes to wrap things up. So that was kind of nice of them. But I had watched through season 3 and hadn't gotten to, and just started season 4, and then I kind of got derailed. My source for watching it was no longer in my life. So it's been nice to kind of go back, and we were excited because some of the actors and actresses from Warehouse 13 is going to be at Dragon Con, and I just kind of wanted to finally get that off my list. But I forgot how much fun Warehouse 13
yes.
is.
It really
fun.
Is, yeah.
Yes, and, you know, I just love all the... There's so many good character actors on there. Eddie McClintock, I really want to see him back on something. Yes. Joanna Kelly was good. I definitely loved Allison that played Claudia.
Yes.
And she is actually on Stitchers now. But I don't think anybody's watching it. I don't even
you're the only one I know. I've never even heard of this show.
It's an ABC Family series.
Okay, there you go.
And it's unfortunate because I actually think the series is kind of interesting, but basically this girl has a certain condition that makes her not be able to recognize time. It's a disorder, and because of that, she has the ability to use this machine that the government has developed that allows her to go into somebody's brain right before they die so that she can figure out what happened and kind of solve the case.
Kind of quantum leapy. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of quantum leapy, except for she doesn't get stuck in their heads. She gets to come back out of the water,
right.
literally out of the water. And it's like she's in their cerebral fluid or something like that.
And that's is that the same actress who played Claudia on Warehouse 13? She's the main star?
No. Her she is the roommate. Who's the computer genius kind of person. So
so really stepping out from her original role.
Well, actually, she had long hair for a while, so, you know.
Clearly a different character. Clearly,
yes.
I also love the crossover between Warehouse 13 and Eureka, which was one
yes,
of the
shows,
I
love
too.
That.
That was cool.
Yeah, so. We got to see... So Matt really hadn't watched either of them.
No, I was
so
really...
So he's only met it. Fargo so far of Eureka, because we're starting later, so... but Saul Rubinek is also awesome. Love him and so much of what he does. So I've also started watching Arrow. And I am caught up to season 2.
2, you're done, yeah.
Yeah, and then season 3, we can't find it without paying for it. So, which is problematical. I'm trying to work on that. So that's part of my challenge. So right now I'm watching Warehouse 13 because it's free.
Right.
And then we're almost done with Daredevil. We have 2 more episodes.
Oh my God, Daredevil's so good.
But you have to do the Unicorn Chaser in between every once in a while because, you know, the blood
very,
is a little
very
much.
Violent.
So. And sometimes the Unicorn Chaser happens to be So You Think You Can Dance, which I did get the opportunity to watch last night.
I did too.
I know. And we're down now to 6 dancers.
So try to play Tiffle. So who won, Joey?
Well, actually, I know. Seriously did that just to make sure I can answer that question. And Tipples is in Italy. Team Street has won the last two group awards.
It's close, though, kids.
But, yeah. But I will say that right now we're at the place where with only six dancers left, those three are the three on each team that I liked. And so anybody who goes home at this point is going to be painful. Mm. So, yeah. But he got to see... I think Jim will probably be the next to go. I think
really?
they're picking on him a lot about the fact that he's really technical, but he doesn't have passion. And I liked Jim. But Yaya's doing really well, and I would not be surprised if she does not come out on top. And also Haley's gotten picked on a little bit. That was the first time I really saw her do that. So, you know.
Well, like it is show. The finals, okay.
It the is. Pressure, we are. We are bending down. Here which, as Tiffles was unfortunately unhappy to find out, was that once So You Think You Can Dance comes to the end.
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars picks back up, and in light of that, ABC leaked on purpose that Mindy Irwin, who is the daughter of Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter. That she is going to be one of the stars of Dancing with the Stars. And the rest will be announced on September 2nd. And, of course, as always, you can find out my opinions on some of that on joeywrights.com. So, that's it. I'm done talking about dancing for this week.
Incidentally, I caught up on Project Runway. And
Don't tell me I'm one episode behind. Oh. Not happy?
Get rid of, like, the two most interesting designers. Stupid Heidi Klum.
Ooh. Alrighty.
Ooh. Speaking of Mr. Holmes, you saw Mr. Holmes.
We were talking about Mr. Holmes.
This is the John Holmes biopic.
It was a really long picture. Ian McKellen starring as Sherlock Holmes.
Wrong Holmes.
Ouch.
I don't know who John Holmes is.
Oh, that's okay. Just watch Deep Throat, honey.
Okay. Cover the ears.
Oh, you don't want spoilers for this one?
No spoilers.
I won't give spoilers.
Okay.
Worth the ticket?
Oh, gosh, yes. Definitely worth the ticket. I love Ian McKellen. He plays Sherlock Holmes at two different times of his life. One where he's solving his last case, and one where he's 93 and he's dealing with dementia and he can't remember why he gave up detecting. So he's trying to figure out that last case. Using any means possible to try and get his memory back. But really great performance by Ian McKellen, and also a great performance, and I can't remember the poor little kid's name, it's Milo something, but who plays Roger, who's the son of his housekeeper. Just two really awesome performances. I highly recommend it. It's great. The sad part was, for the first time, you know, I'm used to going to free screenings where they look in your bag for recording equipment. Uh-huh. For the first time ever, they checked my bag for weapons.
Oh.
Is that Regal? Or
yep. Yeah, it is now I read Regal's they were going to start doing policy that, to check all bags prior to going into the theater. So I had to open my purse so they can make sure I didn't have a gun.
I have fond memories as a kid sneaking in Bartle and James wine coolers to movie theaters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was my rebellion. Just a couple. Nothing crazy.
Well,
and, you know,
at one point
just,
I'll tell you my last Temptation of Christ story.
But not on the now, now,
now.
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 Now. But, yeah, I used to do the same thing. And unfortunately, they weren't even looking for alcohol. They were looking for weapons.
No, see, that's the thing. I had heard the conspiracy-minded among me says that they're using the weapon thing as an excuse to stop you from bringing in outside food and drink.
Oh. No, because actually the person I was with had candy in her purse.
Oh, they didn't care? Oh, well, never mind.
They didn't care.
I'm with you. I would have thought, yeah, that's got to be some lost revenue.
Somebody go update Snopes.
She had like two bags of gummy bears in her purse, and they're like, oh, we don't care about the candy. It's like, okay, wow. So, yes, go see Mr. Holmes. It's excellent.
Awesome.
Don't see Fantastic Four. It sucks.
Oh, no.
Yes. But for things that suck, rubbing up against things that are awesome, we have Westboro Baptist Church and the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, they were protesting the...
Let me just be clear, Foo Fighters would be the awesome part, and Westboro Baptist Church, not so much.
Absolutely, yeah. So they were boycotting and protesting outside of the Sprint Center in Kansas City, Missouri, where the Foo Fighters were playing. So Dave Grohl loaded up the band on the back of a pickup truck with a large sound system and rickrolled the protesters, which was, to me, was just perfect. And they've got video of it, and it is glorious.
That is fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I hope Sony does that next week at Dragon Con, because they will be there.
Yeah.
They've been there the last 2 years.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never noticed them.
Wow. I only noticed them because I had to go to the... They've moved the dealer's room outside.
Right.
And I actually had to cross that street.
Over to America's Mart or whatever.
And they were close to the America's Mart, so...
Wow.
I'm like, you have nothing better to do?
Apparently
not.
Hopefully
the stormtroopers just...
And I'd like to come back and talk about Dragon Con a little bit more, but first let's talk about this cruise with Star Trek.
The first Star Trek cruise, hosted by William Shatner. It's for the 50th anniversary, so it's in 2017. It's a Caribbean cruise. And yeah, it's just tons of people.
Jonathan Frakes and Denise Crosby. That'll be fun.
Yes.
Are they not friends?
No.
Oh, I did not know this.
No. Explain.
Oh, the last time they were at Dragon Con together, Denise Crosby got up and walked off stage.
Why?
Because Jonathan Frakes was being a dick.
Well,
I mean, seriously, you're going to sit there and... Yeah, because leaving Star Trek really helped your career, didn't it, Denise?
No, he didn't.
He did.
Oh,
and for those of you who don't remember, Denise Crosby played
Tasha Yar.
Yeah.
For one season before deciding that she could get a nice film career going.
Yes. And then wound up doing The Red Shoe Diaries, I think, on HBO, or was that before?
I think that may have been before.
Oh, okay, well,
but she did Pet Sematary, and then.
Oh, yeah, that was huge.
A couple of really
not
bad films.
Nice. Sorry, wasn't that what the little kid said? Not fair.
Not fair, Daddy. Not fair.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Dead Gage was so cute. But yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't know, maybe they've buried the hatchet, but that was a couple years ago at Dragon Con.
I forget what Denise Crosby, I think she's doing a cabaret show on the cruise, and then,
why?
Or something weird. And then, yeah, Frakes and Sirtis are doing like a Love Connection type of show together. So
I saw them together a couple years ago at Dragon. There were some other Star Trek cast there, but they just had a panel of them together. Ostensibly, it was going to be about their voice work on Gargoyles.
Oh.
But it really kind of branched out beyond that, and they talked about like the whole Riker Troy kind of thing at length. It was a really, really good panel, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, some of my favorite panels at Dragon Con are the Monday panels, because by then the guests are just like, whatever. And they're not all, like, stuck up and, you know, official and formal. And especially the Star Trek panels, it seems like they all just have been drinking all weekend. And by Monday, you get some of the best stories, because they figure, hey, I'm not going to see you for a couple months. I can say whatever the heck I want. So that's definitely it. But speaking of Dragon Con and conventions in general, one of the things... Matt and Abby, that you guys do very well, is you love to cosplay.
Yes.
And you have done that for quite a while. And but you also have gone to Dragon Con several times with your cosplay. So, mm-hmm. And with Dragon Con a mere 8 days away, I was wondering if we could just spend some time this episode
eight
talking
days.
A little bit about the tips and mm-hmm. tricks and insider's view of cosplay and how to pack for something like Dragon Con and you know, what inspires you to come up with a costume idea and, you know, all the stuff. So blah, go.
Okay. Well, I think we did Dragon for 6 years straight.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And just coming up with costumes, the first year we just kind of put together whatever we had. Because I had done mostly Renaissance Fair at that point, and he was into steampunk. So
just getting started.
Okay. So we just kind of threw together, you know, things and just wore fun clothes.
I hadn't owned Indiana Jones. Costume that I had from, like, a Halloween. It was decent, you know.
But then after that, I think for costuming, we just kind of, over a beer or two, we'll start... talking about an idea, or should we do this show, or who should we do, or, and then it just kind of develops from there, and we have like a master list, and we'll just cross them off, the ones that are impossible for our, because we can't sew.
No.
We have to, like, you know, go and
we
find
cheat.
The pieces, and yeah. But, yeah, we whittle it down, and we work on those, and it's also kind of, it's become, what's easy to fit in the car now?
Yeah.
What's easy to pack?
Yeah, and we have a Honda Fit, and you can get a lot in that, but it's still not a big car. So, yeah, I'd say, you know, one tip is get some pieces that you can wear for multiple costumes.
Yes.
That helps. Yes. That'll save you a little space in there.
And then we always did little or smaller costumes during the day.
Yeah.
And then do our more elaborate ones at night. That way you're only bringing, you know, three or four maybe large costume pieces, or, you know, very intricate and elaborate, and then doing simple ones during the day.
Yeah, because that way if you want to go to a panel during the day or hit the dealer room, you are not walking around with 18-foot bat wings strapped to your back, poking children's eyes out. Oh. Save that for the nighttime, because the drunks won't even realize that you're poking them in the eye with your 18-foot bat wings.
Yes, and when I say a small costume for us, like we did Portlandia, this sketch, put a bird on it. So we dressed as those characters.
And we had little birds and we ran around putting them on people. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That is good.
That's creative.
Yeah.
You also did the 1960s Avengers. The first Avengers came out.
We did the Avengers protest.
Yes. And that was
the Avengers protesting the Avengers.
Yes. Because the Avengers television show came out about 9 months before the first issue of the Marvel Comics. Granted, you know, Marvel was in America, Avengers TV show was England, but still, it was out first. So we thought that would be a fun thing to do, like basically say, oh, we need a Joss Whedon movie because, well, they had that horrible Ray Fiennes, Sean Connery. Well, less said the teddy bears. Never mind, anyway. So we did the...
I forgot that too.
Well, it came up when we did our research.
Yeah. How can you go so wrong with Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman? How can you go so wrong?
I don't know.
I don't know. He gets into some stinker sometimes, and it's not his fault at all, I don't think. But maybe his agent is just kind of like, whatever. Put him in there.
I think my favorite night was a couple of years ago. We did, I dressed as Shoshana, and you dressed as the Bear Jew from Inglourious Bastards. We were walking the hall. And, you know, here I am, and this is my first time carrying, like, a prop gun, you know. And my dad's old school Wisconsin, so I was raised around firearm safety. And even though I have, like, a plastic water pistol, I'm like, don't point it at anybody. Hide it, you know, put it down, you know, just. But, yeah, we were walking through this crowded tunnel.
This Futurama group goes past us going the other way, and they had Scruffy the Janitor. And
that's spot on Scruffy the Janitor.
He had a real mustache. It looked just like him. Oh my God. And I just sort of pointed at him, you know, and I'm standing there. I got my baseball bat, you know, my Nazi dog tags, you know, bloody Nazi dog tags around my neck. And sure. I just go, you know, hey, Scruffy, all right. You know, and the guy, without missing a beat, spins around, looks at me and goes, Scruffy believes in you, Bear Jew. And then turns around and keeps walking. And I was speechless. I just kind of stood there like, how did... Damn, that guy was quick. Yeah.
But that happens at Dragon Con.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's one of the awesome things about going to a convention is you can do something that is a little bit more unique. And yet, still... have people recognize you.
Someone will always recognize you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It may take a minute for some people to realize that you're dressed as Amy Pond or something like that, especially if it's a more street clothes outfit. Like, what was the 70s group you used to dress as? Mars?
Oh, Life on Mars?
Yeah. And sometimes if you don't know right away,
you've
not watched the show, it may take a minute for somebody to recognize that that's a costume and not just you with... Goodwill.
Yeah.
Polyester.
But at the same time, they'll come up and compliment you on your early 70s gear.
Right.
You know, without knowing where it was.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Huh. I've done that several times. I've gone on like, wow, that's a fantastic costume. Oh, thank you. What the hell is it? I've resigned myself that if I don't recognize something, I just assume it's Japanese.
Yeah.
Right. It's a video
Attack
game.
Attack on Titan anime.
Yeah, or some anime, you know. See, I know what that looks like. But some
know, that's after sitting at several tables at conventions. Gotcha. Or Homestuck.
Oh, yes.
It took
me
a long time because I was like, I just have no idea.
And don't ever ask one of those kids to explain the comic to you, because it, from what I understand, it takes about an hour to explain, and if you're over 17, you still won't understand it.
What was that?
Homestuck. Yeah, basically. That's the ones with the Cheeto curly horns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I love that kids are into it. I really do. I think one of the things for me, when I was first went to Dragon Con, my first year, I went as a total, like, this is a first world experience. I've never been in Dragon Con before. I have no idea what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I literally had a cast on and people, I think, thought it was part of an outfit. and I was like, no, please don't hit it because it's really a cast. Yeah. But the second year, I came and I had like Spock ears, but I didn't have like an overabundance of costumes. In the third year, I definitely had costumes. But for me, I'm 5'10". I am seriously fluffy. And I was like, I'm not going to try to dress up as Uhura because I don't have that body. I'm not going to try to dress up. And I understand, you know, you can dress however you want. However, if you're going to dress however you want, I just ask that you do it well. You know, yeah. There is a woman that's come to Con Carolina several times, and she dresses as Wonder Woman, and she is fabulously fluffy, and she looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But she does it well. Going to Hot Topic and picking up a dress that's three sizes smaller than you are is not my option. Now, somebody was telling me that she went and picked up some Doctor Who aprons, and that's her costume, because she can sit down. She can take it off when she's ready, but she's walking around, and you know she's a Doctor Who fan. Mm-hmm. For me, I, similar to what some of the stuff that you guys have done, is like, I didn't try to dress like a Hogwarts kid because I wasn't going to wear a sweater in Atlanta.
Oh, good lord.
With a robe on top. And
I did the first year.
Yeah.
I had Hufflepuff robes, and I was like, okay, thank God I could take a robe.
That is one thing you have to remember, because, yeah, I have done big, complicated steampunk builds a couple of years, and... Mm-hmm. Oh no! I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, know that you're going to be walking around, that you're going to be hot. Now, if you're at a convention where it's all contained within a hotel and you know they have good AC, then you know maybe you could do other costumes. Mm-hmm. But for me, like instead of doing that, I did my own version of a Hogwarts costume, like they might have worn back in the 1940s. That it's more like the schoolgirl with the little pleated skirt kind of deal.
Yeah,
and it still had the Hogwarts mm-hmm. logo, and it had the Gryffindor, you know, colors and all that mm-hmm. stuff, but I didn't do that. Same thing with Star Trek, is I did a Star Trek costume, but it was like if Star Trek had gone mirror into the 70s and I had kind of that Nebula look on it. So for me, as somebody who's like, well, I don't see anybody on the movie screen that looks like me that I could carry or get away with that mm-hmm. costume and feel like I'm actually representing it. Yeah. Obviously, Mrs. Weasley and stuff like that I could probably do, but, you know. Ghostbusters, I know. But I also shy away from the Melissa McCarthy and Roseanne Barr references. Yeah. I've been called Roseanne Barr twice.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. Ooh, no. Yeah. No, like, I was just thinking in general, just Ghostbusters, strong characters.
But that's where you can get away with stuff. That's where steampunk really opens the door for people, because it's not based on a specific character, it's based on a world. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing with the Renaissance Festival and Lord of the Rings.
Pirates.
Pirates. Firefly, you could do a little bit with that kind of world. But I think that that's definitely one thing. If you're intimidated by doing a costume,
is
don't try to be a character maybe so much as a person from that world.
Exactly. And you don't have to worry so much about, well, okay, the major fandoms are represented, like Doctor Who, Star Wars, or Marvel Universe, or, you know...
This mic is very good. She can aim her face anywhere. It's going to pick it up.
But, like, we've done costumes from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We did Lilith and Frasier from Cheers, from the one episode...
One scene in one episode,
because we figured that's what they would wear to a con.
Yeah.
So it's... Yeah. And we've always been... People have figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really fun.
Yeah, and you know, and some people, I think, you know, to go kind of back to what Joey was saying about, like, not having to do, like, you know, do it, like, from a world or do, like, a twist on it.
Yeah.
You see a lot of people at a con, and maybe if you are not ready to go dive head first into cosplay at this point, remember that Dragon Con, it's sort of like Burning Man almost, in a way that you can literally wear anything that you want. So if you're used to wearing, you know, jeans and t-shirts, that's cool. But put a top hat on with your jeans and t-shirt. Or, you know, you got some, you know, Renaissance Fair stuff, but maybe you don't have, like, the full outfit. That's totally cool. Just wear, like, the doublet with your shorts or whatever. You see a lot of people do that. And the kind of neat thing is that it's, like, we're all just sort of living in this crazy fantasy world of all, like, multiple dimensions kind of crashed into each other. So you can literally wear anything at Dragon Con. No one will judge you.
Yeah, and I think some of the most clever costumes are the ones where it might be a mashup, where it's like, you know, the Stormtrooper in a kilt, or I saw a Hello Kitty Stormtrooper, and then there was a little girl that she was in a full-fledged Stormtrooper outfit. It just happened to be pink. You know, but it's like you could do whatever. I had a lot of fun when I was Slave of Flash last year at Geek Gala because it was like there was no other version of that. So you can't tell me that I'm not doing that. I didn't have it technically or chronologically accurate because Hello doesn't exist. So, but you know, that's a lot of fun as well, you know, as opposed to the people that get, and there are, I respect the ones that are very aware of what is accurate.
Stitch bitches.
Yes. But I think for general cosplay, you just need to wear something that makes you happy.
And comfortable.
And comfortable.
Don't be uncomfortable. If you put it on and you're thinking, I don't know if I want to go in front of two people, you're going in front of 60,000.
Right.
So just be comfortable.
Yeah. And it's the little touches. I mean, Dragon Con is so friggin' hot. The Spock ears was one of my favorite things because I could walk around all day. I just had them on the tip of my ears. I had long hair back then, and it just, like, covered it over. And, in fact, the girl at Hooters was so relieved because she thought she had a normal table. And then all of a sudden she saw my ears starting to peek out. She's like, damn it.
We tip good.
Wow. Yeah. But, you know, and the same thing, too, is, like, I used to have the steampunk goggles and the fingerless gloves. How many times have I worn that just as, like, you know, I'm going to be sitting at a table all day. I do not want a corset. I do not want a hoop skirt. I just, you know, here, this is me. Deal with it. So, and I think a lot of people are more accepting about that, and anybody that isn't, you know, shouldn't be. Yeah. So what are things that you wish people wouldn't do when you're in costume? Or what's your favorite way to be approached when you're in costume?
Oh, goodness.
Well, I think everyone has sort of some of the same wouldn't do. I know, you know, it's been last couple years, you know, on the blogs and stuff, you know, women being harassed for their costumes, of course.
And I'm always kind of covered up in my outfits, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, definitely, you know, the Portlandia outfit was not sexy, you know?
Not really, no. Still a cute knit.
Yeah.
But in terms of favorite, well, I think my favorite way to approach is simply when someone just runs up and just stops right in front of me and is like, oh my God, you're obscure thing that I recognize, you know? Because that just makes my night. If it's like, you're the only person who recognizes this weird thing I'm wearing, but you're now my best friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think our favorite place to meet people, and even if you're not a cigarette smoker, but you can tolerate being around it, the smoking areas at the hotel bars are the best place to meet people. That's where they're all standing outside and just kind of chill, and they've taken a break from their con, so they're more apt to interact. And we've met...
Oh, yeah.
We've met some... crazy, fun,
yes,
nice people.
Yes.
Out on the balconies.
Yes, we stayed up until 4 a.m. with that one night. Well, that is the cool thing about Dragon Con, is that it's very easy to make friends there for the weekend, which can turn into lasting friendships. In terms of, I don't know what to get back to your question, I guess. We've never really had a big problem with people inappropriately reacting to our costumes, I don't think. Not too often. Yeah.
No. when I did Krieger's girlfriend, I had the one guy
from Archer, kinda, the holographic anime girl.
Yeah. Oh. I had one guy, just one, the entire night, approach me kind of skeevy, ask him for a photo, and but, you know, I mean, Matt was there with me, so nothing.
Yeah. Really. I've heard people say before, you know, just be aware of the fact that, you know, you guys may not sew your costumes, but I know that you definitely have built many of your steampunk items, and, you know, don't touch without asking. Don't grab at. Please don't touch my wig because it may not get back to where it was supposed to be. You know, that kind of stuff, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
And try and ask for a photo.
Yeah.
I know at Dragon Con is kind of hard because you're walking back and forth, and sometimes you're just grabbing photos like, oh yeah, oh my god, I know that.
Yeah.
But if somebody's posing and there's a group of photographers, you don't need to ask as much as... if somebody is like in the middle of eating a burger, try not to take a picture then.
Try not to, but sometimes asking. You know, Edward Scissorhands was sitting there trying to eat a sandwich, and I was like, "Can I please take your picture of you trying to eat this?"
and I think we're bad for this at Con because we've gotten in the habit at Ren Faire of people taking our pictures while we're eating beef jerky and drinking a beer, and we're like, "Sure," and we'll just, you know, throw behind each other. So I think we kind of, you know, maybe make people at cons think they have more access.
Maybe so.
Because we'll always take a picture. It doesn't matter what we're doing.
Yeah. I will say, getting back to the thing about someone standing, like posing with a whole bunch of people snapping pictures, that's cool if you go up and join the paparazzi. But if, like, it's kind of dwindling and you can tell the person's trying to, like, pick up, don't kind of jump in and get, like, that one last picture, especially if they've already, like, picked up, you know, their accessory off the floor and they're starting to, like, kind of readjust their cape so they can walk. Don't be like, one last picture, because inevitably what's going to happen is 9 other people are going to come up behind you, and now they're doing another photo shoot. So, you know, still respect, you know, people's time. I remember one time I actually... you and I, we saw that fantastic, it was a Pirates of the Caribbean costume. Not movie, Disney attraction. Oh. She was the redhead from the attraction. But she was sitting down, she was having a drink, or having something to eat, taking a load off her feet. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my god, are you the redhead from Pirates? She's like, yeah, you know. It was kind of cool, we talked about Disney, and I just said, I'd love to get your picture. And she just sort of had this look of, like, resigned, oh god. And she started to stand up. I'm like, no, you are eating. You sit. I will remember what your costume looked like. It is fine, you know. And I think, you know, she seemed to be very relieved at that, and, you know, so just be nice to the people in costume.
Yeah, same thing with, like, celebrities walking around. If there's a guest of a con and they're walking from one panel to another, try not to attack them, although your inner fangirl may want to attack them. I'll never forget James Hong, who's been in, you know, he's been a Blade Runner and 900 other things.
Yeah, I know. Big Trouble in Little China.
But he
missed a button.
But I saw him one time walking down from the Hyatt that by the pool area down those steps, which are just kind of dangerous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking up as he was walking down, and people around weren't really noticing because everybody's just trying not to fall. But I was walking up, so therefore I looked at him, and you just see this moment of fear, like, please don't tell people I'm here because I'm navigating safely through. And he is, you know, if you don't know, it's not necessarily like Brad Pitt or the president that you're going to recognize them immediately. It may take you a second to know that this older gentleman is indeed that guy.
Although, how many old Chinese men are really at Dragon Con?
Well,
not that many.
Yeah, but it was kind of a cool thing. But you could definitely see kind of that oh my god moment where they're like, okay, you're approaching me, but why?
Yeah.
So I just smiled and walked on, and he seemed relieved, and you know, just try to respect it. It's cool enough that I got to see him without feeling like I need to have that moment with you while you're obviously trying to go to the bathroom or something like that. I can't wait for Con Man with Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion to come out. And there is
that cool
pre-release scene where he's literally sitting on the toilet and they're trying to shove things underneath for him to sign. And it's actually of Nathan Fillion, not of Alan Tudyk. And he's like... really? And the guy's like, I don't know who you are, but if you're going to sign on that side, can you sign on this side too? So, yeah.
pretty hilarious. But
yeah, try not to confront them in the bathroom. Yeah.
So what do you think has been your favorite tip of just going to a con in general? What is your philosophy on how you approach con? You tend to guys not be big on the panels. You tend to be more of
not as much.
Yeah, we're more of a go around and meet people and just kind of hang around and take in the sights.
Yeah, just the social community aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think part of this, the first few years we went to Dryden Con, I think we were definitely very much panel, oh my God, okay, what's our panel schedule? But as Dragon Con's gotten bigger, really all cons have gotten bigger. I mean, let's be honest. The sci-fi con economy has exploded in the last...
It's the golden age of geekdom in our lifetime.
Oh, it totally is, yeah. So, so I would say, you know, my tip is, if there is a panel that you really, really want to see, just choose that one panel. Be like, this is the one I gotta see. I'm gonna get in line for it 2 hours beforehand, or more, as the case may be. But after you get out of that panel, don't kill yourself trying to go to another one. After that, walk around and just make friends. Mm-hmm. Talk to people. You know, maybe there's someone putting on, you know, an impromptu like magic show in the Hyatt. I've seen stuff like that happen. Or the Adidas trooper, the Adidas hip-hop trooper will just come out with a boombox, and a dance party will just start up in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And you meet friends that way. And yes. So just be open to those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But always, like, rest and eat at least one good meal and two snacks a day.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, at least, was it six hours of rest? And yeah, I mean, that makes all the difference.
Oh, and for every day, I would say have 3 or 4 pairs of socks and 3 or 4 pairs of underwear and just...
Change.
Whenever you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable, change. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much better you feel with a fresh pair of socks on.
Yeah, and my philosophy is similar. I definitely pick that one or two panels that you want to make each day. I actually will fill my schedule up with, even if there's 3 things on, because wherever I'm at, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't really feel like trekking to the Marriott.
Yeah.
But, okay, what did I pick that was also here in the Sheraton? All right, I'll go there. Mm-hmm. And with the really huge panels,
yes.
A lot of times, they'll have the big, huge screens, and you can walk in at the back, and you can see everything, or you can go up to your room and watch it on DragonCon TV. Mm-hmm. But go to some of these little small panels. I've had more fun at the half-empty panels of the guests who maybe are up and coming or down and trending. Mm-hmm. You know, the older shows that people have already gone to the big versions of those panels. And you have a much better one-on-one experience. You get to ask multiple questions. You get to really interact and see that person because they're not feeling the pressure of, I have to entertain 10,000 people.
That was the Frakes and Marina Sirtis panel, actually. Yeah, because they did the big, giant Star Wars panel the day before.
Star Trek.
Star Trek. Oh, my God. Bad me. All right. They did the big, giant Star Trek panel for Next Gen the day before. So this was just this little panel kind of off in a side room. And it wasn't even, like, on the Trek track. It was, like, gargoyles on the animation track. And it was kind of intimate. It was really cool because of that. So, very, very good point.
And every single panel room has a water station. Yes. So bring a bottle around. Drink water. You don't have to buy $1 water bottles or $2 water bottles. And I really feel like you can live off of, for me, I would budget $20 per person per day out of the food court at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Because I also preload my bag with, you know, a couple bags of chips. I buy those variety packs of chips. Mm-hmm. I buy snack crackers and different things like that and try to have that preloaded so I'm not...
Power bars.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah. Something to kind of cover the munchies in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you get the water, and then if you have that one meal at lunchtime, and then later on towards the evening, maybe go back and hit one more time, there's meat in 2 places, or there's meat in 3 places. You can survive on less than $20 a day, if you're careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, there is the con suite. I've not gone to the con suite at Dragon Con ever, but I've been told that it's survivable food.
Yeah.
So... You know,
we've hit the con suite.
Except the last time we went, it was the kimchi night.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bit...
too much.
It was Sunday night, so, you know, the con wasn't smelling good to begin with. And then there was this, like, overpowering kimchi.
Which brings us to soap. Please use it. Febreze it. Mm-hmm. I usually try to bring two or three pairs of sneaker type shoes, and yeah. and quite frankly, as a woman, you can go to TJ Maxx. I've gotten little Pumas and little other sneakers that look like ballet slippers, mm-hmm. but they have the soles and they've got the inserts in there. And but Febreze them at night. Do all of us a favor, and you know, and bring a couple pairs so you can go back and forth. I do think that cosplaying at an event as big as Dragon Con, although those heels may look awesome with the costume,
you're going to regret making it to the Hyatt and realize you have to trudge back to the Sheraton or back to the Hilton or back to your room to change shoes.
Or if you're going to do that, if you've got a minion with a bag, at least throw a pair of flats or in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many times have we seen somebody trying to walk barefoot and then there's broken glass?
Oh, God, something.
And as somebody who broke her toe at Dragon Con 2 years ago, flip-flops are your friend. So make sure you have a pair of those as well.
And Dr. Scholl's pads, if you happen to wear, like, you know, big heavy leather boots. Like, I have a pair that have, like, hard leather and, like, wood soles on them. They're, like, military, like, old military boots. They look great, but good God, my feet hurt. So,
pad them out, Dr. Scholl's, and thick socks. Attire may work a little bit better. But definitely, and, you know, again, you don't have to be in cosplay to go to these things. You don't have to be a panelite. You don't have to be the other thing. But the great place to meet people is in line. Just start a conversation. And if you don't feel like you're a good conversationalist, I've sat at a panel where a woman told me that, you know, she brought some knitting, or she brought some crocheting, or she brought like a pack of like magic cards, and we kind of played a little impromptu magic game of just, you know, point against point. And it can be a conversation starter, and just, you know, it just be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice.
Have fun.
Yeah. Have fun with it.
Take the roads of Roadhouse. The words of Roadhouse. Be nice. Yeah.
And go to some of those like weird little hallway places, and then all of a sudden you pop into this room, and it's like Erin Gray, Gil Gerard.
Yes.
I had the greatest conversation with Gil Gerard, and nobody else knew who he was because he was so huge at the time.
Yeah.
And he's lost a lot of weight now, but I mean, he told me everything I ever wanted to know, and I didn't have to prompt him for anything, and he was just, and then he was talking about horses, and I was like, tell me about horses, sure.
Yeah.
And it was just, you can meet some really cool people. And at San Diego Comic-Con, I was way down at the end of the food court, and there's June Lockhart set up near the nacho stand. And I'm like, how can I not speak to June Lockhart? I mean, I watched her millions of hours of TV with all these shows she's been in.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, thank you. I've really enjoyed you as an actress. And she, you know, she was old then. These people are going to disappear. And it's like...
Oh my
just
God.
Take some time to say thanks, I think, is pretty cool. And
I got Ed Asner's autograph last year, and Lindsay Wagner's, and I do not regret either of those. I went to a panel with Ernest Borgnine, and he passed away the year after that. You know, and I got to stand up, and I made a total fool of myself because I immediately started crying. But I thanked him because he did... an amazing film that won him the Oscar, and
Marty,
and I will never forget Marty. And as somebody who was not the traditional type of girl growing up, I mean, Marty is a black and white story about a older guy, you know, in his 30s or 40s, but you know, beyond normal marriage type, and he's a butcher and everything like that, and he didn't have the girl of his dreams, and he ends up getting dragged to a dance by his friend. And he meets a girl, and she would not be what you would call a traditional beauty. She was a school teacher and kind of timid and kind of plain. And they ended up hitting it off and having a really good time. And his friends are like, what are you doing with her? Mm-hmm. And all that kind of stuff. And so at first he listened to his friends, and he's like, you know what? You guys are idiots. And he ends up calling her. And it's a very, you know, I mean, you've got to deal with some of the tropes of the 1950s and the male to female mindsets. But I always loved that movie. And I got to stand up and just thank him for that and say, that's thank really you cool. for doing that. And, you know, and get to hear him tell some of the stories about, like, being on, what was it? Blue... what was the helicopter one with Jan Michael Vincent?
Oh God.
Airwolf. You know, but he was on that. Yeah. He was on a bunch of fun stuff. And, you know, but you take advantage of that. And sometimes people are so eager to jump into this panel of whatever the latest craze is, whether it be like Once Upon a Time or, Twilight or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're with these actors and actresses that literally have been on the sci-fi scene for a season, you know, and people are tripping over themselves trying to get to know them. And it's like, and then you could sit there and talk to somebody like Richard Hurd or Ernest Borgnine or some of these others that have just story after story, because they took the smaller roles in multiple genres as opposed to being the lead actor.
Mm-hmm. And it's a worthwhile conversation.
So, that's my two bits. Anything you would like to share, Carol?
No.
I'm good. Matt?
Oh, one quick thing. Marvel Comics is doing something pretty cool. In September, the month of September, I guess there's a fifth week there, so they're doing variant covers and their cosplay.
Yes.
Folks. Did you see that?
I did see that.
I thought it was pretty cool.
That is a great. That is so cool. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. They're putting and they're photographs, right? They're
photographs.
Yeah. And it wasn't sure if they were kind of airbrushing, but no, it's an actual photograph of people in the Marvel character costumes. It's really cool. And I guess it was all user submitted. I don't know. Did people vote on them or?
I didn't read about the voting, but
I don't know how they chose who was going to go on the covers. But I guess fans could submit their own photos and costumes. Awesome.
I will have a review next week of The Disaster Artist, which is a book I'm reading right now on the making of The Room.
Oh, really?
That's good.
I
want to read that after you.
Hi, Carol.
Yes, we're by Greg Sestero.
So busy.
Oh, hi, Mark. Mm-hmm. In the movies.
You're tearing me apart, Abby.
Yes.
One of my favorite riff tracks ever.
Oh, God.
And of course, unfortunately, we always end up ending the podcast on a rather sad note. But you know, probably one of the first female superheroes that I saw and looked up to. This past week, Yvonne Craig has left us. But what an amazing person she was, and not just because she was Batgirl, but because she really was. She was very humanitarian minded and very kind. Mm-hmm.
She's also in an awesome Star Trek episode called Whom Got Destroyed.
That's right. She was on Star Trek.
That was my version of a superhero. When people would ask me what superhero power I wanted, I loved the fact that she could take somebody else's pain. You know, so if somebody else was hurting or in pain, I thought that was something that was along with the lines of that.
So, once again, we're ending it on a downer note. But
no, because she gave so much to us. How nice it is to have somebody who has been with us this long, and yet it's not because they died of, autoerotic asphyxiation.
Right.
Like that. Not mentioning any names, Mr. Carradine. So, see, I can make us laugh.
There you go.
All right. So, Matt and Abby, tell us where we can see you next. I know for sure one place you'll be.
Yes. Yeah. Well, obviously, the Geek Gala. October
24th.
24th. I just sort of have it as it's that weekend. October 24th. Weekend before that, we're going to be at TFCon Charlotte, which is the Transformers fan convention.
Our listeners are only allowed to go to if they have enough money to go to the Geek
Yes,
Gala.
You have to do both. Well, no, here's what you do. You take your old Transformers or other toys. Actually, it's like in kind of an 80s toy collector market. So bring your toys, sell them, and then use that money and give it to the Charlotte Geeks the next weekend.
For the charity.
Yes, yeah. But it's if you're at Charticon, it's all the same gang. We're doing it again, only we have TFCon back in us this time. We got Gary Chalk, who was Optimus Primal on Beast Wars, and we got Greg Berger, who was the original G1 Grimlock. So those guys should be a lot of fun.
And check out our Facebook page. It's Two Dudes Review, but number two.
And review is spelled REVUE.
Because we're fancy like that.
Yeah.
So, yes. So it's number two. Dudes, REVUE.
That's right.
There you go.
Nice.
So nice to actually, I don't have to prompt them to spell it like everybody
else. Yeah. Because I remember that. Because when I looked, there was another one out there, but ours is spelled the cool way.
That's right.
Well, because it's not just reviewing. There's skits and more.
Yes, you get that. Exactly. You get it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, because I watched the new zoo review as a little kid.
Oh, my God. I still have nightmares about that thing.
It's the new zoo review.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. Oh, well, Matt, Abby, Carol, Sternslord.
Yes.
I tell you, like, I've taken over his job, whether he likes it or not.
I love
and
it.
Field. And Field.
Locked up in the garage. Keep him clean.
Yes, we've got new sponges for you, Field.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook
so
at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstofte. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
This is my jam! Yay!
We got a theme!
Yay. Intro and outros on my... Yay! Thank you!